Good morning, Symphony Church. Today marks the beginning of the third quarter of our Bible reading plan, and we are starting with the Gospel of Luke in chapter 1. Just to give some preface as we study this book, Luke wrote this gospel sometime in 63 to 70 AD, addressed to his friend Theophilus. But the book was written with special attention to his larger audience, which was new believers in Christ from Gentile or non-Jewish backgrounds. This is Luke chapter 1. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things that you have been taught. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all of the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. For your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you do not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." In the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the 6th month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm, he has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child. And they would have called him Zechariah after his father, but his mother answered, No, he shall be called John. And they said to her, None of your relatives is called by this name. And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, His name is John. And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors. And all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, What then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all those who hate us. To show the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people, for the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. Amen. In today's devotional, I'm going to highlight two instances where God uses his servants, Zechariah and Mary. Their families are chosen to fulfill God's purposes to bring John the Baptist and Jesus into the world. While the birth of Jesus is covered in other Gospels, the story behind John the Baptist's birth is unique to the Gospel of Luke. And through it, we see more about what it means to be invited into God's plan. The story begins with Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth, who have been praying about having a child for some time when God first appears to them and reveals good news to Zechariah. His plan is to bring a messenger of Jesus into the world, cleansing and bringing joy to the people of Israel, and he has chosen Zechariah and Elizabeth to be part of this plan. But Zechariah's response is doubtful because of their old age and barrenness. In verse 18, he says to the angel, How shall I know this? Or in an NIV translation, it's written as, How can I be sure of this? This situation might remind you of Abraham and Sarah, who were in old age and barren when God promised them a son. Zechariah reacts in a similar way, too. He's curious, disbelieving, even a little guarded. But God's response to Zechariah is to affirm that whatever he has planned is something that will come true unconditionally. Later, God speaks similarly to Mary, giving the good news of Jesus' birth. Like Zechariah and Elizabeth, Mary and Joseph have found favor with God, so God chooses her family to be the great redeeming family of Jesus. Mary, because she is a virgin at this time, responds to God very much the same way that Zechariah did. How will this be? In response, God assures her that he will be with her in spirit and in power, and that no word from God will ever fail. He even mentions that Elizabeth will also have a child. And then Mary says something else to the Lord. I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. With this declaration, Mary places her full trust in God, that even though it's nothing short of a biological miracle for her to become pregnant, even though it will be a source of shame to endure before she is married, God will be with her. For Mary, God's word is enough to confirm that his good, pleasing, and perfect plan will come to pass. I think it's one thing for us to agree in our minds that there is an all-powerful God whose plans always come true. To be honest, we can sort of passively believe this when we read scripture stories or hear testimonies from long ago. But as we become personally invited to be part of God's redemptive work in our lives and in the lives of those around us, God may require us to make preparations by believing something new about our past, present, or future. Trusting that God will do as he says when we are personally involved is much, much harder, often because he brings us to face our limits. For Zechariah to trust God, he had to confront years of infertility and unanswered prayers, on top of becoming silent for 6 months before John the Baptist was born. Mary was called to raise Jesus, the Son of God, born of the Spirit, something that was literally a first in human history. In our own lives, God may show us mountains that are seemingly impossible to move. Maybe our need for security, or our unfruitful careers, or maybe our unforgiveness towards past friends or family members. But through the story of Luke 1, we see that while God does involve us in great plans that require faith, he's not some distant taskmaster over our life. God chooses Zechariah, Elizabeth, Mary, and Joseph because he truly loves them. He wants to get closer with him. He wants them to grow closer with him so that they can see the signs that he will show them of his redeeming work. More than that, God promises that his Holy Spirit will be with them, filling Elizabeth, Mary, and later Zechariah so that they can prophesy about the wonderful things that God has done. God's plan for Zechariah, through his 6 months of silence, was to reveal the degree of greatness of his redemptive plan for Israel when Zechariah could finally speak. Through Zechariah's prophecy, it says that all the neighbors throughout the hill country came to marvel at God's salvation, his coming to redeem Israel, his anointing of John the Baptist who came to prepare the way for Jesus. Symphony Church, I truly believe that God is waiting to do amazing things in our lives among our faith journey. And the more that we allow him to grow us in personal obedience and righteousness, the more he will use us to bring his redemption to this world. Today, brothers and sisters, let's respond in prayer. Let's draw closer to God as he is drawing close to us. When it seems difficult to obey God as we reach our personal limits, let's truly hold fast to what we know about him, believing that God is simply more. He's greater than our doubts and our lack of faith. Let's acknowledge that in the hills and valleys of life, whether we feel afraid, lonely, proud, burned out, no matter where we are on the spectrum of emotions, God's Spirit lives in us and will be with us always. Because when we choose to align ourselves in a right relationship with God like Mary and Zechariah did, God will truly show us the greatest good that can only come out from a perfect, loving, complete God like himself. Let me pray to close us out this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you so much for your good, pleasing, and perfect plans, Lord. As it says in Scripture, God, you know the plans that you have for us, plans to prosper us and to give us hope in a future. And God, you don't wait, you don't plot out our demise, Lord. You don't keep us wallowing in grief, God. That's never part of what you desire for us. Instead, Lord, I know that in each of our lives, Lord, in the many people that we cross, Lord, whether it's in our workplaces or our school or just anywhere, Lord, that you have given us a footing, God, I believe that you are waiting to bring about your redemption plan. And so, Father God, I pray that this redemption would come from a personal relationship that we have with you, Lord, that as we grow in obedience, Lord, as we grow in righteousness, like we see in the book of Luke through Zechariah and Mary, God, I pray that we too would desire to see your plans come to pass, Lord, that we would really want to see your kingdom come, and we would do all it takes in our personal lives to see God, see you be magnified on our lives, Lord, and in the lives of those around us, God. So, Father, I pray that you would speak to us personally today, showing us the marvels of your plan, no matter how great or how small it appears, Lord, and that as we come to follow you, we would just be guided along this great revelation, these great revelations that you're waiting to show us, Lord. So, Holy Spirit, come, be with us today, rest on us as we go about our days, Lord. We give this day to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.